Thank you for downloading the latest podcast from the Canada-Europe Transatlantic Dialogue housed at Carleton University in Ottawa. The interviewees were in conversation with Anka Gurzu. For terms of use, please refer to the publication section of our website, www.canada-europe-dialogue.ca. For this podcast, we spoke to Patrick Leblanc, professor with the Graduate School of International and Public Affairs at the University of Ottawa.
Could you briefly explain how the European financial crisis started and why is it still unfolding?
Well, the whole crisis started with, the global financial crisis and the banking crises that took place in the United States and then in Europe, whether it's in Ireland or the UK, Germany, Belgium, and even France. And as a result, we got the so-called Great Recession, which then led a number of countries to actually stimulate their economies by, running into fiscal deficits. And that, in part, led to an increase in public debt. In the case of Ireland, for instance, the Irish debt almost tripled as a result of bailing out the banking system. So following this banking crisis, countries were in a very weak position in Europe and the banking systems too. And then Greece, which had been basically living beyond its means for pretty much the entire decade of the 2000s, all of a sudden found itself with much higher interest rate because they realized that Greek debt was more risky than German debt. And that's basically when the whole thing started unraveling and contagion took place and bailouts had to be provided to Greece, Portugal, and Ireland.
Tell us a bit about the roles that France and Germany played before in terms of not meeting the EU requirements.
This is the whole kind of crisis of the Stability and Growth Pact, which took place in 2003-2005, when France and Germany ran budget deficits basically above 4% of GDP, at which time, according to the Stability and Growth Pact that was in place then, they were in line for being sanctioning by the European Commission and basically the other EU member countries. And, what they did is with Italy, they had enough voting rights to veto the imposition of sanctions, thereby basically undermining the entire Stability and Growth Pact. So when it came to countries like Portugal and Greece, which were running too high deficits in good times, where in fact they should have been in surplus to bring down their debt, France and Germany could not threaten to impose sanctions because they had basically refused to have sanctions imposed on them. So, they could not say, sanctions are not for us, but they're for you. So in that sense, they tied their hands and allowed Greece and Portugal to get into a fiscal mess that potentially could have been avoided.
When you look at the way the crisis has developed so far, who do you think would be to blame in the end?
Well, I think a little bit everyone is to blame. I just mentioned France and Germany, and certainly the Greek government, the Portuguese government are to blame for not using the good times to bring down their deficits and in fact try to run surpluses and reduce their debt. Those same governments did not actually undertake the reforms to their economies in order to make their economies more productive, more competitive, more efficient. The same with the Italian government. They did nothing over 10 years to really make the Italian economy more productive, which is why Italy had almost no growth during that period. The banking regulators in Europe allowed banks to indebt themselves too much, which ultimately led many of them to require either go bust or require financial assistance. So, a little bit everyone is to blame. Even investors, financial markets are to blame because for a long time they did not differentiate between Greek debt and German debt. They thought it was pretty much the same and asked for the same kind of prices until they realized that maybe the risk is not the same and started differentiating between these different types of assets. And that's when Greece ran into problems because when they had to refinance their debt, the cost was much higher and at some point they just could not do it at the level of the debt that they have. And that's when the whole debt crisis started.
Just looking back at how complex this issue is, what are the implications for Canada?
For Canada, the implications are not so much, thankfully. One major implication is that the demand for our exports coming from Europe is not going to grow as fast and might even be lower than it has been in the last few years. So that's a little bit unfortunate given that we had very decent growth in terms of our exports to Europe. So that's going to affect a little bit the Canadian economy since the European Union is our second largest trading partner. On the other hand, the banking system is not very much exposed to the debt crisis in Europe. Our banks don't hold a lot of sovereign bonds of Greece or Italy or others. So we're not threatened that way. The major threat is if, at some point, really credit conditions in the global economy freeze like they did in the fall of 2008, and there is a new global recession, well, you know, most likely the Canadian economy would go into recession just because everyone else is going and we are dependent on what happens globally. Certainly we have some fiscal flexibility and the government is being very careful in terms of returning to a balanced budget. And I think that's the right policy, you know, maintaining that flexibility and even do stimulus if necessary at some point.
Thank you.
You're welcome.